We would like to welcome you to the May 10th, 2023 meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. At this time, if you have your cell phones, can you please make sure that they're on mute? And if you are joining us virtually, please make sure that you are muted as well so that we can have a clear record. Sign postings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. This month, we have two items on the consent agenda. Number one is the petition of J. Elder Studio, 23-001893-COA, 110 West Congress Street, Awning. And second is the petition of J. Elder Studio 23-001942-COA, 151 West Bryan Street, illuminated sign. Is there any member of the public or board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
Gwen, so moved.
Second. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, with that, the items on the consent agenda have been approved. Adoption of the agenda for today's meeting. Is there a motion?
Altshuler, so moved.
Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Okay, again, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, with that, the agenda has been approved and passed. Next is the approval of the meeting minutes from last month, April 12th, 2023 meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
Thompson, I make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. With that, the minutes have been approved and passed. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda, there are none, so we will move on to the continued agenda, which, again, there are none. There is also no request for extensions this month, so we will go ahead and move on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less, and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. If you are joining us virtually, please make sure that you locate your control panel and use the raise your hand feature. I'll be notified and called on you by name. And then if you're here in person, please make sure that you sign in and state your name for the record before you make your comment. First item on the regular agenda is the petition of Lynch Associate Architects, 23-001945-COA, 3 MLK Jr. Boulevard, amendments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting approval to amend a previously approved certificate of appropriateness for rehabilitation and alterations to the property located at 3 MLK. The amendments include three main items, and that's an expanded terrace along the north side of the building here facing River Street. Windows have changed to multi-light configuration, and one window sill on the north facade right here has been lowered to become a door opening for ADA access into the building. And three, the fabric awnings have been changed to a metal canopy that wraps the corner of the building. I can show you which project that they are, I'll show you the facade of the project they're amending. So this is the previous approval. You can see how they're expanding the terrace here and lowering this windowsill. And then how there was just a one over, just a no light configuration. Is that a word? No light configuration. A project similar to this amendment was approved by the HCBR. You can see that one here. In August 12, 2020, however, it has since expired. There were conditions of that approval that now that we're going back to a very similar design, there were conditions of that approval that still should be addressed. I'm going to go through those. To create a 4x4 repointing test patch and schedule a staff to review the test patch prior to full execution of the work. Utilize a water cleaning method as described in Preservation Brief 1 to clean the masonry. Three, ensure that the historic painted signs, one on the east facade and one on the north facade, there's a potential issue with the one on the north facade, from the original building occupant are not damaged and that they remain intact. Four, revise the pattern for the perforated metal cladding to allow even more transparency through the cladding so as not to visually obscure the underlying historic fabric. And this portion of the building is where that metal cladding is proposed. Redesign the awning that wraps the corner of the building to have a transparent roof in order to lessen the visual impact on historic facades. Six, ensure the refuse storage area is located within the building or to the side or the rear of the building and screened from the public right away. And seven, ensure that light fixtures meet the standard and provide the specification. So I'm going to address those conditions in the report. When this was the project here, and that was approved in February 9th, 2022, it had two conditions as well. And that was very similar, but to create the 4x4 test patch of the proposed repointing and then ensure proper encroachment permits for the exterior stair, which you can see here, stair and ramp along River Street are received. All right. So, and when this was the project too, you all continued a proposed rooftop addition. That rooftop addition has now been eliminated from the project at this time. So this is a historic building, a historic warehouse building. It was constructed in 1939, and it's contributing. All right, repointing mortar joints, preservation brief. So type N mortar is proposed, which is appropriate for the age of the masonry. They're proposing that the color match the existing color. The drawings now indicate that they will provide a 4x4 repointing test patch and that they'll schedule with the MPC staff prior to full execution of the work. So that standard is now met from that condition. Preservation Brief 1, assessing cleaning. The drawings now indicate that general cleaning of the masonry facade is proposed in accordance with the Secretary of the Interior standards, so we don't have concerns about that condition any longer. Ensure the historic painted signs, one on the east facade and one on the north facade during the cleaning, are not damaged and remain intact. We, as you know, in the pre-meeting, we couldn't find the one on the north facade now in current images, so we're not sure what happened to it. But you could still see the one on the east facade. With regard to the Secretary of the Interior standards, staff is recommending the following in order to meet the preservation standards. One, of course, ensure the historic painted signs are not damaged and remain. Let me go to another drawing. I think that this elevation shows the canopy the best, how it wraps around the corner of the building and continues down. So we're asking that the awning that wraps the corner of the building have a transparent roof in order to lessen the visual impact on the historic facades. I must have wrote down. Oh, there it is. Wrote down the wrong page number. So this is now the cladding that is proposed over that portion of the building here. Staff finds that the expanded terrace does not obscure openings or other character defining features. As you can see, it is below all of the openings that were on that facade. And then the one has been dropped to meet it. Let's see. All right. So the refuse storage area, there's a note on the drawing now, right here. That says that the refuse area is beyond and not visible from the public right away. I'm guessing they must share a compactor with somebody, but I think we can ask the applicant that question. And then the lighting, they've submitted the lighting fixtures and they meet the standards now. All right, so staff is recommending approval to amend a previously approved COA with the following conditions because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, redesign the awning that wraps the corner of the building to have a transparent roof. Two, the historic painted signs shall not be damaged and shall remain intact. And three, ensure the proper encroachment permits for the terrace along River Street are received. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. I'm Andy Lynch with Lynch Associates Architects. We're the agent for the owner. I didn't really have many comments. Thank you for staff's report. Just to clarify on the garbage, they actually own the property behind this property that runs all the way through. I think to Indian Street. So there's space in the rear of the property for refuse area to be obscured from the right of way. Regarding staff's comments, we didn't take any exception to any of their comments, especially retention of the historic painted signs and to ensure that the proper encroachment permits would be provided prior to the work. We obviously would plan to do that. With regard to number one, we didn't really have any exception to staff's comments. I think basically what they had inferred was that they wanted us to go to more of a translucent type panel, like we've shown here in this example, instead of a metal roofing material, which we don't really have a problem with. The only thing we were concerned about was the tree canopy that's in place is pretty dense along that side of the building, and we were concerned about leaves and other debris just getting caught on the top of a translucent panel, and so it would basically be a continuous maintenance issue where they were going to have to be cleaning leaves and stuff off of the canopy, and you see the debris on top of it. So we might ask that you reconsider that. We did try to lower the pitch of the canopy. So if you're looking at them straight on, we tried to minimize the impact of them from the street. I think a lot of them, you see them right here. I do think a lot of this area is really going to be obscured by the trees as well, just because of the heavy tree canopy. So we would ask that maybe you reconsider that, but short of that, we have no issues. Be happy to answer any questions, though.
Does anybody have any questions for the applicant? Thank you, Mr. Lynch.
Thank you very much.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Is there a person online that would like to comment? No? Okay. At this time, we'll now go into board discussion. Each member is afforded two opportunities to provide comment. Ms. Gwynn, I'll start with you.
I guess my comment is addressing the petitioner's response to one of the requests for the clear awning. I think that is a valid concern, and I think that knowing what our tree canopy is like and knowing the number of leaves and other things that get dropped in addition to pollen, I think clear might not achieve the visual objective that we are going for. So I certainly would be willing to consider an alternative on that.
Okay. Mr. Alschiller.
I concur with Ms. Gwynn's comment and agree with staff recommendations.
Ms. Rowan.
I would also agree with an alternative.
Okay. Mr. Thompson.
I agree with all the previous speakers about that. I certainly it would be a visual issue for anybody underneath it, and probably a different design could take care of that.
Ms. Taylor.
First, I wanted to say that I thought that that redesigned corner extension, terrace extension, is really nice. It's much improved over the previous two designs. It seems to connect those two streets, and I think it's going to be a great addition. I agree with staff's recommendation regarding the transparent canopy. I think it's important to keep that historic facade visual. And I think if it was only on a small portion, it wouldn't be so bad, but it's over so much of the facade, a majority of it, that I think it's going to be distracting to have anything other than something transparent.
Okay, Mr. Hull.
I agree with the staff's recommendations for 2 and 3, but I kind of agree with the comment, previous comments about condition number 1.
Okay. We'll go around one more time just to make sure. Ms. Gwynn.
Nothing further.
Mr. Alschiller.
No room for the comment.
Ms. Rowan.
No comment.
Mr. Thompson.
No comment.
Ms. Taylor.
No comment.
And Mr. Hull.
Nothing more.
Okay. At this time, we will now entertain a motion. Yeah, can you put, thank you.
Yep.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move that the petition, hold on a second, the petition 2300195 COA at 3 Martin Luther King Boulevard be approved with the conditions as listed, with condition number 2 and condition number 3 as listed in the board in the staff recommendation.
Okay. So at this time, we have a motion on the floor to approve with conditions number 2 and 3 as outlined in the staff report. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Karen, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Alschiller?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan? Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
And Mr. Hull?
Aye.
With that, the petition has been approved with conditions. Next item on the regular agenda is the petition of Patrick Phelps with Hanson Architects, 23-001939-COA, 641 Indian Street Alterations.
Madam Chair, I just need to make a comment that I have a relationship with the owner of that property, but it will not in any way impact the way that I vote today.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff recommendation for 641 Indian Street. The petitioner is proposing alterations and rehabilitations to the property, which includes painting of all exterior walls, rails, trim, removal of existing blade sign, new openings on the north facade for storefront windows, new aluminum canopy, replacement of existing storefront systems, addition of steel columns, downspouts along the front facade, and new exterior light fixtures. This is a rendering of the proposed alterations with the new paint colors. And then this is the existing context. or the existing property. This is the proposed elevation on the primary facade of the new storefront systems, as well as the new canopy. We did have a few comments. Also for note, this is a non-contributing building constructed in 1958. But we did have a few comments primarily on the standards for the storefronts. One was that we asked that the petitioner redesign the storefront so it conforms to the standard, which requires that a storefront either extend from a sill or a base of contrasting material. The other was to provide a dimension for the inset of the storefront glazing. And finally, we did request that they provide dimension for the height of the new railing and the distance between the balusters. But beyond that, staff didn't have any major comments about this project, and the petitioner does have a presentation where they've proposed a redesign of the storefront, as well as the information that staff was missing, if they wanted to present that as well.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay, thank you, Jamie. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Board. Patrick Phelps with Hanson Architects representing the owner. We really don't have any exceptions to the comments that were made by staff and have provided some alternate design options and additional information. To address the railing, we're working to match the, there's an existing railing along the front of the building. It's at 42 inches, so we're matching that existing height. They're up beyond our building. There really is no context in which it is in relationship to. And the baluster spacing will be 4 inches on center, which matches the ordinance requirement of 4 inches. With the originally proposed storefront, it was set back from the existing CMU wall, 4 7/8 inches, which is greater than that 4-inch requirement by the ordinance. Mm-hmm. But we do have an alternate design. Originally, we were working off of the existing windows, which extended to the finished floor of the building, and pretty much repeated that detail throughout with the new openings. But I understand the comment with the board and appliance to ordinance. We're happy to do that, which would be the inclusion of a sill, minimum of 18 inches above finished floor, and of a contrasting material from the wall that it's set in, that the new storefront is set in. So what we're proposing is a brick material that is going to be stacked bond with a row lock course. It's 1 foot 8 inches in height, and that does actually set the storefront back. The glazing dimension would be 8.5 inches from the face of CMU. So we'll get a deeper shadow plane with that. On your left, you can see the newly proposed storefront opening, and on the right is what we've proposed in the original packet. Happy to answer any questions, but I think we don't really have any comments with staff and are willing to comply with the conditions.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Phelps? Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Does anybody have any questions for or any comments from the public online? Wow. Okay. At this time, we'll now go into board discussion. Mr. Hull, I'll start with you.
I agree with the staff's recommendations.
Okay. Ms. Taylor?
No comment.
Mr. Thompson. Mr. Thompson.
No comment.
Ms. Rowan.
No comment.
Mr. Altshuler.
No comment.
Ms. Gwen.
No comment.
Okay. Since nobody had any comments the first time, I'm going to assume nobody has any comments the second time. No? Okay. At this time, we will now entertain a motion. Can you bring up the recommendations, please?
I'll go ahead and move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve petition number 23001939 COA 641 Indian Street alterations as requested with conditions mm-hmm. because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Do I have a second?
Gwen, second. Sorry, Don.
Okay. With that, we have a motion on the floor to approve with conditions as outlined in the staff recommendation and seconded by Ms. Quinn. Mr. Kuhl, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
And Ms. Quinn?
Aye.
Okay. With that, the petition has been approved with conditions. The last item on the regular agenda today is the petition of Architecture 101, Stephen Stowers, AIA, 23-001952-COA, 17 East Perry Street Alterations.
This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff recommendation for 17 East Perry Street. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations, which include the replacement of existing front doors with new glazed wood doors, convert one window opening into a new entrance on the first floor at the front facade, replace existing non-historic windows, doors, and canopy on the rear facade, install a new door opening and four new windows in the infilled opening where the carriage house doors previously existed. So a little bit of context. Building was constructed in 1855 and is a contributing resource. It was remodeled in 1969 as an office space. You can see the Sanborn maps here. It shows it has two addressings, 15 through 17, which was likely for the two uses that occurred here. And that is shown with the full width wood balcony here. Excuse me. And then going back to the petition, here we see a rendering of the existing front facade and the proposed front facade. As a note, the door proposing to be replaced is just the door, not the trim. So the trim is to remain. It's just the front door itself. Here are photos of the property. This is the rear carriage house. These openings where the carriage house doors used to be have been infilled, and that's where new windows and doors are proposed to be. This is the front facade as existing, and then surrounding context. These are historical photos. As far as staff is aware, this is the earliest photo that could be found of the property, which was, I believe, 1979. And this is a rendering of the rear, again, existing and proposed. Here's the elevation plans. Staff didn't have any major comments. We did find the conversion of this opening to be visually compatible, as there's examples of this occurring across the street at 232 Bull Street, which was converted from a residence to a storefront, to an office, and to a storefront, which is existing. It's actually multiple storefronts. And we found that this was the best way to accomplish the conversion of an opening with the most minimal loss of historic materials, as the top of the opening is still remaining the same. We also found that this would be reversible, as there are examples of windows which have been converted to doorways being successfully reconverted back to windows. And then as far as the front door, we did not find the front door to be historic as existing. The trim is to remain. It's just the front door which is being replaced. On the rear facade, these are non-historic windows, which are proposed to be infilled and replaced. This is a non-historic addition, which is T111. And then on the carriage house, these are existing non-historic windows, which are also proposed to be replaced. And again, these windows and doors are proposed to be placed within the infill on the carriage house, where the carriage house doors once were. And with that, our recommendation is approval as requested, and I'll take any questions you have of staff.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? No? Okay. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. Steve Stowers with Architecture 101.
I wanted to thank staff for all their help. I want to thank the board for consideration. I did prepare an additional few images to respond to some of the public comments that we saw. And we just sort of wanted to, as staff alluded to, sort of document some of the adjacent buildings that have been converted or have ground level doors in a pattern that's very similar to what we're proposing. These are essentially on the other side of Chippewa Square on the 19 to 23 West Perry Street. Again, this is not a typical Savannah row house because it's not, doesn't have the elevated first floor or the ground level. It is, the first floor is at the ground. So slightly different. You don't see too many examples of this type of building, but 15, actually I'll go to 111 West Perry Street here, which is slightly predates our building, also has a door roughly in the same position as where we're proposing it. 15 York Street, East York Street, they essentially, when that was converted, and I apologize, I don't have the date that was converted, but it is not the original historic. They took out the entire front facade on the ground level. We're not proposing that. We're just proposing to remove one single window. And then around the corner over here at 127 Abercorn Street is probably the closest I could find to what we were looking for, which is essentially two doors in the same positions on a facade, essentially in the same basic position in the Oglethorpe plan as we are. And you can see there it's got a door and a door. And this just makes the building a little bit more inviting for a retail, a small little shop. We don't have a whole lot of square footage there. We're not trying to open it up with a lot of storefront. And then I just wanted to document a little bit more appropriately, I guess, the condition of both the door that's there that we're replacing, and as staff indicated, we're just replacing that solid door, which is non-historic. We're not touching the frame. We're going to put doors in the existing frame. The window that we are replacing, which is, it does appear to be historic, the sashes do not appear to be historic. I think they're certainly old, but they're not original. They're in much better condition than the frame. The frame itself is in pretty terrible condition. And that's to the point where I can't really tell exactly what it is, because it's been butchered pretty badly over time. As for the historic ironwork, I think our plan, we do not want to lose that piece of metal. And so I think our current plan is to take that ironwork and mount it into the new lobby on the inside with a small plaque that indicates that it's original to the building. You know, we'll clean it, restore it, and then talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of Kehoe in our community and the significance of this piece of metal. Because we don't want to lose it. We want to bolt it back to the building so that it can always be returned. But in one of the images, I'm not sure how we get there from here. I may not be able to get there from here, but that piece of iron does not match the second floor window iron for whatever reason. So the two pieces are probably a slightly different date or time period. So other than that, our renovation is mostly residential. The building's operated as a business for about 50 years, an office building. This renovation will convert it back to residential, which was, I think, its historic use. We just would like to add a shop there in the front, which probably will not be possible if we don't have this entrance, because I don't see any small shops sort of wanting to share a residential lobby with the tenants. So with that, I'm open to any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead.
How many residential units is it going to be converted to?
I think it's seven currently.
Seven, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Does anybody else have any other questions? No? I have a question. On the rear, I don't know if you have photos with you, but on the rear facade for the carriage house, is there any headers that are remaining
There's one brick header that's visible. I think I can see it here.
I say it's kind of hard. They're blurry. So
it's, that is a brick header that has been stuccoed over.
Okay.
So,
but none on the on the base level on the first.
Oh, you're talking about in the front of the building?
No. I'm talking about on the first floor of like where the garage doors, the carriage doors.
I think that is a brick header as well. And we are not touching that. We'll leave it exactly like it is.
Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Okay. Is there a member of the public that would like to make a comment?
Please make sure you state your name for the record and keep your comment to 3 minutes, please.
Leah, can you? Hello, my name is Andrew Jones. I'm speaking on behalf of the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. And we are opposed in particular to the removal of the window based upon the Department of Interior standards and the design standards in the ordinance. So first of all, under the Department of Interior standards, where this proposal is converting the historical residential appearance of the building. We know it had a building use, but it still retains its 1850s residential appearance, and the addition of the door turns it into a mixed-use building, which changes the historical character, which we believe is contradictory to the Department of Interior standards, which must be met in order to issue a COA. We believe the window must be retained. You can see on the left the original window casings with that fine beaded molding. That's original. It's covered with paint, but it's still there. We believe these window sashes are, if not original, they're very old because of the very thin muntins. So these are extremely old windows and should be retained. And that 1850s cast iron grills, we believe, is an important feature of the building and should be retained, not on the inside, but on the outside. And we believe that this cast iron is an original component of the building. You saw that the railings were different on the other windows on the upper floor. That's probably because at one point the balcony carried the whole way across. Those are probably later, and this is probably the earlier iron. You can see the pattern matches. This is inconsistent with the Department of Interior standards. The removal of historic materials or alterations that characterize the property should be avoided, and it's inconsistent with 7.810H, which is the design standards. Now, yes, this might be compatible. It might be allowable under 7.89, which are the visual compatibility standards, but a COA has to meet both the visual compatibility standards and the design standards. And it clearly doesn't meet the design standards, which say that the windows shall be repaired rather than replaced. So therefore, under the provisions for a COA, this part of the application must be denied. This is not a hearing for a special exception. They always have the ability to come back and apply for a special exception. But this clearly is not permitted under 7.810. And before my time is up, just a historical note. Well, actually, I'll jump over the door because it is important that they retain those details on the door. Those are characteristics. Those inner corbels are a characteristic of doors of this period. This building is a prototype of a pattern that was throughout the historic district of buildings that are three stories in height. They have what's called the main floor, the piano nobile, on what appears to be the second floor with a full balcony. This is an example from 1872. Here's another example from the same period. So the building you're looking at originally looked something like this. And we believe that it does retain a lot of these original features and that they must be protected under the ordinance. Just some notes on the door. Here's a Menard Lefebvre 1830s pattern book that was an inspiration for that corbel.
Mr. Jones?
Yes?
I'm going to have to cut you off.
Okay, fine. And then this door on 23 West Perry Street is probably what the original looked like. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there another person that would like to comment?
Hello. My name is Ryan Giles, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. As you know, our architectural review committee meets every Monday before these meetings, and so they have reviewed all these projects. When reviewing this project, they did express heavy concern, much like Mr. Jones, about the loss of the historic fenestration, noting that this is a primary facade, and it is a primary facade where this opening has always maintained a window. If this were a rear or secondary elevation, I might find that their ideas might have been different on this. But HSF, at this point, would advocate for retaining the historic fenestration on this facade. However, I would like to add that we do acknowledge that projects like 128 East Taylor Street, which was approved by you all on the consent agenda last year, did include the approval of expanding a window into a door opening, much like a very similar situation to this one. It was exactly the same. And on that project, they did receive tax credits as well. So it was approved by the State Historic Preservation Office and beyond to have that change occur. That was on a secondary elevation for the building, but it was on a primary street. It was on Abercorn Street, so it's very visible. So if this were to be approved, because in some cases, like I just mentioned, it is appropriate and it has occurred in the past, HSF as well as others in the community did witness at 128 Abercorn Street the essentially disintegration of the historic brownstone and historic bricks underneath that in order to create that opening. So we would just ask that in order to make this an actual reversible situation, as it shows in staff's recommendation, that something more delicate in a way that this material could be retained either on site or provided to an organization like Repurpose so that it can maintain and be retained as a historic material in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any other members of the public? Please make sure you state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Steve Edwards. I represent the Downtown Neighborhood Association. Most of the specifics have been covered, so I'll be brief. We would like to state our opposition to the modifications to 17 East Perry, specifically the destruction of the window and replacement with the door. We see that the staff concludes that the alteration is the least amount of fabric that can be removed to accommodate new door opening into a ground floor office. We believe that this begs the question. It turns the analysis on its head by making the commercially expedient needs primary. And we think that it should be the historic preservation that should be the primary goal with only accommodations that don't affect the historic nature of the property. It's one of our limited number of contributing resources, and we think they should be maintained to the extent possible.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other members of the public that would like to comment? Anybody joining virtually? No? Okay. At this time, we'll now enter into board discussion. You look like you're ready, Mr. Hull, so I'll start with you.
Are we out of order to ask the petitioner to respond to the comments?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I missed that because we haven't had any comments today. I'm sorry. Please, would you like to respond to public comments?
Yeah, okay. So again, Steve Stowers with Architecture 101. We understand the public's concern about the window. I think in the outward appearance of this building and in terms of the way it's been used in the last 50 years, it is very, I would say unwelcoming to the public at this particular moment. That's why we're asking for the additional light in the front door, and to, you know, activate the streetscape with an additional door. I think we'll call Repurpose Savannah and maintain the fabric and make sure that we're delicate with the existing historic fabric of the door. But I do think this is the best opportunity for this building to sort of take on its next chapter in life as it moves forward. Because I think right now, if we do not have this door opening, I think it's just going to be an apartment on the front floor that's not going to be particularly desirable. So that would be my only thought about it. But I will also entertain that, you know, if this cannot move forward without removing the window, you know, we can consider not – we would pull the door from the consideration if that allowed us to move forward.
Okay. Any other comments, responses? Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Would you mind putting up staff's recommendations first before we talk? Oh, that's my fault. Mr. Hull, I'll start with you again.
I was, when the conversation first started, I was ready to go with, okay, approve. But hearing the concerns about the door, replacing the window, I don't think that our role particularly is to look at the economics. It seems that the historic part of the window replacement, I do have a concern with that now.
Ms. Taylor.
I have a question for Jamie. You had said, let's go back to the door real quickly, because one of the comments was concern about keeping the corbels and the trim around the door. That's all being kept in the application. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So yep. None of that's changing. It was just the door itself that has been deemed non-contributing, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And, okay.
Can I ask a follow-up question real fast since we have you? The replace, please refresh me. All the windows are supposed to be replaced is in the application. Is that correct?
No, just on the rear.
Just that, just on
just
the rear.
Just the rear okay. and that one on
just
the.
Just wanted to yeah. make sure. Okay. Continue, Nan. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm going to have to say that I've got some, reservations also about the addition of the door. I know that based on your assessment of this, that, this door installation requires minimal historic material removal and that it would be reversible, but it's still a door. It's not a window and it's not original. And this is one of those things where openings on the main facade is just an absolute crucial part and significant part of the standards and our design guidelines in Savannah. So I'm going to have to say no to that particular change, alteration. Otherwise, I agree with the rest of staff's comments.
Mr. Thompson?
Yeah, I have a similar thought, but for a different reason. It seems in looking at the units planned in this building, they're all residential except for this not yet determined space, which if it was a residential unit would be accessed from the hallway and mm-hmm. the primary door. So I sort of lean towards the owner creating this into a unit one into an apartment like the other six or so that are in the building. And that would resolve this discussion by keeping the window.
Ms. Rowan?
I agree with all the comments about keeping the window.
Mr. Oshler?
I think we are all in concurrence, mm-hmm. both on the board and members of the public, that it would be the interest of all of us in the town to keep the window as a window.
Ms. Gwynn?
I agree with the comments of my colleagues in regards to a historic fenestration on a primary facade.
Okay. We'll go around a second time just to make sure. Mr. Hull? Ms. Taylor?
Nothing else.
Mr. Thompson?
Just an afterthought of my comment. I don't know if there needs to be a fire exit in that unit then. So that might be a window issue. No? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think so. Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Elsfiller?
No further comment.
And Ms. Gwynn?
Nothing further.
Okay. At this time, we will now entertain a motion.
Chair?
Yes.
Excuse me. I'll try that again.
Yes, please.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 2300195 COA at 17 East Perry Street with the condition that the window and the front facade not be removed and replaced by a door.
Okay. That's it. That's your only condition?
Yep.
Okay. So at this time, we have a motion on the floor to approve the petition with the condition that the door on the front facade not be included. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Hull, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Altshuler?
Aye.
And Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
Okay. With that, it has been approved with the condition of not removing the window into a door. That's much more eloquent than the way I worded it before. Okay. Okay, next we're going to move on to the list of staff reviews. I'm going to read through all of them and then we will make
a vote for acknowledgement. So bear with me because there's quite a few. Number nine, the petition of Stephen Bodek, Inc., 23-001700-COA, 310 West Charlton Street, non-historical architectural asphalt shingle roof replacement. Number 10, the petition of Green Line Architecture 23-001944-COA, 129 to 131 East Broughton Street, storefront door replacement with hollow metal door. 11, the petition of Stephen Bodek, Inc., 23-002085-COA, 101 West Taylor Street, color change door. The petition of Ward Architecture, 23-001923-COA, 118 East Jones Street, amendment of 23-005840-COA, 10-inch wood Doric columns and square wood newel post instead of newel posts with ball caps. Such a long title. The petition of South Coast Inc. 23-002078-COA, 510 East McDonough Street, amend 22-005867-COA, color change. The petition of Pharrell Click, 23-002072-COA, 111 West Gordon Street, carriage house, paint color change to walls. The petition of Hanson Architects, 23-001938-COA, 609 Habersham Street, color change, door slash transom replacement and in-kind repairs. The petition of Brad and Stephanie Harris, 23-001921-COA, 120 West Taylor Street, repaint stucco, replace shutters, and repair slash repaint porch and stairs. The petition of Lynch Associate and Architects, 23-001692-COA, 1201 Bull Street, amend 20-005064-COA for rehabilitation and alterations. I'm not reading the rest of it. The petition of Home Depot, Benjamin Coffee, 23-001922-COA, 340 West Jones Street, window replacement. The petition of Matthew Zalumis, 23-001937-COA, 315-317 East York Lane, amend 21-006199-COA. Again, I'm not going to read the rest of it. The petition of Pharrell Click, 23-001772-COA, 220 East Oglethorpe Avenue, stucco coating reapplication on a sidewall. Petition of Roof Crafters, 23-001757-COA, 525 East Gaston Street, roof material change and in-kind soffit slash eave repairs. The petition of Savannah Confections, 23-001684-COA, 347 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, color change and non-illuminated wall signage. And lastly, the petition of Rose Architects, 23-001787-COA, 1526 Bolt Street, replace existing fixed window with double-hung walk-up window. Can I get a vote of acknowledgement? Please say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed to me? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so next is work performed without a certificate of appropriateness. There is three different reports attached. The work that's done without the COA, which exceeds the COA, and then which is inconsistent with the COA for you to review. Report of the items deferred to staff. There's a report on there for May. For you to review, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements. As always, there's the inspections completed by staff and the stamped drawings, reviewed by staff. Other business. Does anybody have anything they want to add under other business? I know we talked about some stuff during pre, but no? Okay. Okay. With that, the next HDBR pre-meeting will be Wednesday, June 14th, 2023, at noon here. And the regular meeting will be the same day, June 14th at 1 o'clock. And with that, we are adjourned.